here. Oh, I just come to glorify your name. Yes, I just come to glorify your name. There's no other name I know. I tell it wherever I go. Glorify his name. Amen.
Thou hast searched me, O God. Thou knowest my thought. There is nothing that is hid from Thee. And when I'm high, and when I'm low, Lord, wherever I may go, Your thoughts are so precious unto me. Charge over me, and You shall bear me up, lest I should fall. You will hear my cry when I call. My refuge, my deliverer is He. And in His will.
Amen. It is well with our soul. I remember that story of in my soul. I tell you, I was listening to Brother Dale preach an older sermon today, and something he said. He said, no matter what sickness comes upon you, don't start claiming it. Don't claim that fear. Claim it as a victory, because all things work together to them that love the Lord and were called according to his purpose. Amen. Let's turn to page 53 and sing this little song before our brother comes out. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Oh, in the sweet clearly see, yeah. praise God for that lighthouse. I tell you, the gates of hell is against it, but I tell you, it's opened our eyes that we can walk by faith and that understanding. Let's change the order of the service. So Brother Aaron comes out this evening. Yes.
Remember Brother Durrett and all wife and also Brother Luis and them still traveling, I guess.
Yes, Brother Luis, he's over at Brother Dutch Scott's this afternoon. And I talked to Brother Durrett and the family, and Sister Alicia's doing well. Just keep them all in the prayer because Mama's recovering, and I know they miss Mama. So let's keep them all in prayer and praise God for the ones that are back with us, for the Boz family and the different ones. So let's just keep each other on our hearts. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, and I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you.
You tonight. We got here kind of thin in the parking lot, but it looks like we had a pretty good crowd tonight. So, amen. Good to see each one in the house of the Lord tonight. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to look into the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Certainly been remembering all those that aren't with us, and the ones that are sick and the different needs. But one thing about it, God's more than able. Amen. He's a healer. And he always takes care.
Glory.
Yeah. So I will get it myself. Yes. If somebody would just leave me a note. And well, if somebody... Well, look there. Brother Danny. Bless you, brother. Well, now if somebody just leave me a note. I'm a little bit behind everybody else. So, sometimes. You can go ahead and say amen, brother. Just go. Don't just cough. Go ahead and say amen. Not a little louder. Not a little louder. Not a little louder. Amen. Amen. God bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's just all bow our heads and before we read the scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, to be in your house again, Lord. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, how you've taken care of us. Lord, you've led us and guided us. Lord, you revealed your word to us. Lord, There's nothing good in ourselves, Lord, but it's just by your mercy and grace that we've come to this place. And Lord, we just pray tonight, Father, you just help us get out of the way, Lord. Anoint us, Lord Jesus, so we can speak and hear from you, Lord. Lord, just have the preeminence tonight in the service. And Lord, we just pray for each one that's not here. Lord, you know the sick and afflicted, Lord Jesus, the ones that are watching in, Lord, the ones that will be watching this later, Lord. I pray that you just be with them, give them a special blessing. Lord, just lead us and guide us in all things we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go read one scripture. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. And it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. I want to speak on clothed in righteousness. And Brother Branham, as a message, where hast thou strength gone, Samson, from 1959. Brother Branham says, he said, a minister was telling me the other day, he went to eat supper with a person, and while they were getting supper ready, this minister's wife had to watch We Love Susie or something like that before they could cook supper for them. I said, brother, I'm telling you, when that comes, it shows that the home life, no wonder we got juvenile delinquency. No wonder the secret's been discovered. It's taken the baptism of the Holy Ghost out of the people, and they are going for the things of the world instead of coming back to God. Stop. Look, listen. The coming of the Lord is at hand. What good is our knowledge do? What good will our big buildings do? What will our intellectual talks do? It'll take, nothing will stand that day but the blood of Jesus Christ, washed in his blood and clothed in his righteousness by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, when the church loses that, it's gone. And you can see it smothering down, wooing, talking. The Holy Spirit's been grieved by our creeds and our denominational and our sectarian barriers and our class and our fancy things. We know all that's abomination in the sight of God. What we need is a good, clean, washed church, a real clean cut, 100% out for God, out and out with no shame, no backwardness. We don't care what the world says. We got God, and he's all we care about, and he's in our hearts, and we worship him in spirit and truth. That's what God wants in his church. You know, because we want to be clothed in his righteousness, not our own. Because we know in Isaiah 64, verse 6, it said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So, you know, the scripture here tells us that he says that he is rejoicing. Isaiah said, we rejoice because we have been clothed with the garments of salvation. And he said, and put on him the robe of righteousness, his righteousness, because we don't have any righteousness in ourselves, because all we have is filthy rags, but we take on his righteousness. And one of the things I want to look at tonight, there's a couple of things I want to look at tonight, because I want to emphasize the garment that they wore in the Middle East, because when you look at the words, when we talk about apparel, when we talk about being robed, when we talk about being clothed, we have to go back and look at the idea of where the writers are taking this from, because in their time they would understand that, because reading, as Brother Bram said, we're Western people trying to understand an Eastern book. So we want to go back and look at what they had when they said, when they talk about, because today if you talk about a robe ain't much. And you know, but we want to go back and look at what they talk about when they say being robed. And the other thing I want to look at tonight, later on, I want to look at, because in the scripture, I want to look, because even our day in Revelation, Jesus gives, God giving the rebuke to the Laodicean church age. He says that he wanted them to, because they knew, he said they were naked. And he said, you're naked and you don't know it. You're poor, blind, and miserable and naked and you don't know it. But he said, I want you to buy raiment of me that you can be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness not appear.
Yeah, right.
So one of the things I want to talk about was being clothed, but being naked.
Yeah.
Being without. Because if we look, we want to take this thought and look all the way through the scripture, because it comes all the way through. But to understand what it means to be clothed in His righteousness.
Right.
But also to understand the point that I want to try to get to later on. Why do we have standards as far as holiness? What is a standard? Because if our time in looking at what is considered modest or anything, what does the scripture say and how do you apply that and what does the scripture actually mean? Because people say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, then, you know, if it doesn't matter, then that's the part of the Bible we just tear out and throw away.
Right.
Because if it's not, if it doesn't matter, if God didn't, then why did the Holy Ghost come upon the writers of the Bible and write these things if it's not important?
Right.
If it wasn't important, then God wouldn't have wrote it. But it came from the mind of God to someone, some man to write down for you and I to understand that. The Bible, Brother Branham said that we understand that he said a Holy Ghost filled woman wouldn't put on something that's immoral. If the Holy Ghost is upon a person, then you know, they don't, that's what the Holy Ghost came for, is to lead and guide you. So that you will know what truth is. And not only that, you will have somebody, because honestly, if God set things in motion and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, it's the leading and guiding. But the other thing is God set in order, He set a fivefold ministry in order so to bring the Word to the people, because that's the only way, that was the channel that God created, that He ordained for it to come, and it'll come through the fivefold ministry to you. So if you're confused on something, He said He was ordained. He's obligated to put somebody right here to answer your questions.
Right.
Well, then you know what? We don't have to have any worries. We don't have to fret. Why? Because we put our confidence in Him.
Amen.
As Brother Bob was talking about, we got to have confidence in God and what He said. And if it's true, then that's where we lay our faith and we hold on to that.
Right.
We don't have to worry. We don't have to question. Why? Because God has the mind that He wants us to understand that if He has it in His mind, then you know what? He is going to make sure that you get it. You know, it's just like going to school. When you were in school and you had a teacher and they taught you something and you know what? And you didn't get it. Well, then you know what? They went back over it. And you know, there's people that, you know, that they have tutors and they have people that work one-on-one to understand how you learn how to work through your problems, that how you, so you can comprehend what's going on.
Right.
And God knows each one of us, and He knows each one of us situation. He knows your mindset. He knows everything about you. So if He knows how to speak to you so that you can receive what you have need of.
Right.
You know, because that's the reason he said a fivefold ministry in position, in place, that he said they had apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. Why? For the perfecting. So each one of those channels speaks to the people,
right,
but it speaks through a different way.
Right, right.
The Word doesn't change, but it reaches you a different way.
Right.
So, you know, all fivefold ministry, it all comes from one Spirit. It all comes from one place.
Right, right.
One person speaking through those five channels.
Right.
So it only comes from God.
Amen.
Because we don't speak of ourselves. A true fivefold ministry doesn't speak for himself. He's just mute until God gives him something to speak, and then he speaks what God gives him.
Right.
Because we are ordained of God, but we're also required to speak as the oracles of God.
Amen.
We're standing here and we're supposed to speak as in God's stead.
Amen. Right.
We don't have our own thought. We take what God said.
Right.
People have no confidence. Well, it shows I have no confidence in God.
That's right.
I don't know why I got down that path, but you know what? I just...
Right.
It felt good.
All right. Amen.
Like that man said about the little boy said about the watermelon. Said this is good, but there's more of it. So we're gonna eat some more of it.
Amen.
But in the Old Testament, the garments that they wore. We know that there was two kinds of garments that were worn in the Old Testament and in the New Testament in the time of the Scripture, and there was two layers usually to the garments. There was the undergarment was usually made like a tunic, was a short, kind of like a robe, went over the shoulders, came down, usually attached, cinched with a belt. But usually it was above the knees, but went down to the knees and covered this part. But then, so that was the undergarment. But the overgarment that they wore was usually called a mantle or a robe, and it was long and flowing, and it all went all the way to the floor. It went down to the feet. Now, the only time that we see in the Scripture that when you study the Old Testament or any of the Scripture, the only time that you see anybody being not dressed like that was, number one, was a slave, or number two, they were a soldier. And usually because soldiers had to dress differently because they were in a battle, and they couldn't be restricted, so they had to be prepared to fight. So there was less garment that they wore because they were in that they were there to battle. But that was only in a situation where they were going to war. You know, because, when they dressed a certain way, they were doing certain things, but when they came to a different place, they didn't dress the same way. And so, that'll make a little more sense later on. But usually, the clothes, they had the undergarment, and then they had the overgarment that they wore, and it all went to their feet. And usually they were, usually had belts and the cinch and, you know, different things. But that's usually the way they were dressed. They had a robe. And so when it says that he has clothed us with the garments of salvation, see, when you talk about that, the garment covered the person. Usually it went down the arms, it went to the floor, it covered the whole body. And then when he says he's given us the robe of righteousness. Well, if he's put the robe of righteousness, when you wear a robe, see, the robe covered the whole body. Yeah. So when you put this on, you're covered. But see, then when he comes on and he says, you know, that you have, you're poor and you're wretched and naked. When he rebuked this age, he said, you're naked. Yeah. Well, when you look in the Scripture, you have to figure out it, because sometimes in the Scripture, when they use the word naked, it doesn't mean like what we think it does. Now, so we're going to look at some of that tonight in the Scripture, but, and in Genesis 2:25, when God says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, that's the only place that I can find in Scripture where it says that somebody was naked and they weren't ashamed. Or they were naked and they didn't have shame. Or it didn't cause shame. Because Brother Branham said in the message, Satan's Eden, when he was talking about them, he said, what was it? He said, compare this now, how much alike that man and his wife, both in God's Eden, without one stitch of clothes on them, and knew it not, for why didn't they know it? For they were veiled to their senses of nakedness by the holy veil of the Holy Spirit. They could look right at each other, and they didn't know that they were naked. They were veiled with the Holy Spirit of holiness. They were veiled. God's veil yet today can look and not lust. They turn their head. It's a holy veil. See, holy veil. God had their eyes. They were both. One was man and the other was woman. And they did not know they were naked because of the holiness of God kept their eyes veiled. Notice God hid their conscience from sin by the holy veil. So they were veiled by the Holy Ghost, which is the same thing as we were reading here. Brother Branham was saying, you're robed in the righteousness of God by the Holy Ghost. It takes the Holy Ghost to veil you, to cover you. So we're covered by the Holy Ghost. And that's what they had. See, they were in a position that they did not, were not ashamed because they were veiled by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And so that's what it takes today. And Brother Branham says in the message, hear ye him. He says, speaking of the adoption, when they were going through the adoption ceremony, he says, and it was a ceremony of adoption. The child that had been born into the family become placed by adoption in the family. And after that, that boy's name was just as good on a check as his daddy's was. He was heir of all things. He could take out. He could put up. He could fire. He could hire. He could do whatever he pleased to do because the ceremony of adoption had been made upon his son and he was clothed and was set in order. Now, there's where the church ought to be today. Jesus said, these things that I do shall you do also. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Why are we scared of that? What's the matter? If Christ has clothed us with the Holy Ghost and had been adopted into the family after being born again and been baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit, if it's a true witness of God, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So if we have received that veil and received by the Holy Ghost being born again and been placed and we've received that, then he said, then you should have what you have need of and ask what you have need of because you, it is, it's available to you. So, Brother Branham goes on, I'm just going to read a couple of quotes here. This is from The Approach of God. And he says, we'll scroll down to the next one there, brother. He says, and every man that comes that approach dies to self, comes to Christ, regenerated, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, the robe of God's righteousness given upon you, and you live for Christ from then on. You're coming, God's provided approach. Then you got new life in you. The old life of sin has passed away. The old carnal thoughts of that God way yonder years ago, God is a living being, not only out yonder, but right here, right now. All things that he said is the truth, and you believe it. Every bit.
Right.
So we have received the robe of his righteousness and we have received the new birth. Then we have received what we have need of. Then all things have passed away.
Right.
Then all things have become new. So if all things have been passed away, then all of the other things that are in the past have been done away with.
Right.
So then, you know, then if we have a new look because we've become a new creature in Christ. And if everything has become new to us, then you know what? There's no, shouldn't be any kind of remembrance of the old things of life, of the old way of living. Why? Because it's all done away with. Why? Because, you know, if you have the life of God inside of you and it becomes to be made manifest, then it has to show on the outside. You know, because, you know, whatever it is, all things, any kind of seed that you plant in the ground, you know, at some point in time, it's got to manifest itself because if it's germinated to life and it's going to come forth, when it comes up out of the ground, you may not be able to tell it when it first comes up. You may not know, see it, but you keep waiting on it and you keep waiting it as the water falls upon it and the sun shines and time goes on, it's going to manifest exactly what it is. But see, the thing is that you and I, because if we've received that, then you know, it has to come to life. It has to come to fruition. It has to come to manifestation. Because you know the thing is if you say that you're born again and you've received this life and you've been robed in his righteousness, then you know if nothing comes from your life, then you know sometimes you have to start to wonder exactly what happened. Because you know, I mean, you know, if you, it's like a house on fire on a windy day. You know, I mean, there's got to be some kind of showing of it. It's got to be manifested. It's got to show. You know, that's what I want in my life. I want that, you know, it's not that they see me. I want them to see Jesus Christ. I want to die out so much because I don't want anything of the old way. I don't want nothing of the old life. I don't want to be completely gone. So the only thing that they see is Jesus Christ. When I speak, when we walk, everything. Because, you know, if he's called us to be his representatives, then you know what? Then we represent exactly what the scripture says. And you know what? Because the devil is going to try you on that. That's what his job is. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Now, going on. Now, in the scripture, when it talks about them being clothed, and the opposite of being clothed and contrasting these two, when you see somebody what was being clothed and then understanding what was being, what we call, when the scripture says naked, when they talk about people being naked, well, you know, they're not always meaning what we think. It's because in the scripture, when you go back and look, when just like Job said, I believe Job said, you know, I come in naked, I come in this world naked, I go out, you know, because, you know, you come in this world, no clothes. You come, but when in the scripture, when it talks about that, because in the Old Testament and even in the scriptural times, if you go back and look, they had a level of modesty that what they considered being naked. And one of the things that they talk about is like, in some of the scriptures that when you talk about, nakedness and you talk about, it being shameful, gonna give you a few scriptures here. Exodus 32:25 says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. And then Isaiah 20, going to just continue right here. He says, at the same time spake the Lord of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Yeah. Now, one of the, when you go back and look, see, we think, as the scripture tells us in some of the passages, we say that it's nakedness means nude, no clothes. But what, see, when we read about Isaiah, see, they say that Isaiah didn't walk around in, like we think he did. He walked around in his underwear. Because he was walking, because that, in the scriptural times, that meant that he was naked. And the contrasting here is because when they ride on and they come down here and they say that when the Egyptians were taken captive, it says that their buttocks were uncovered. So it's making a distinction between here and here, showing that there was a difference between the way that Isaiah walked before the people. And the reason why that Egypt and Ethiopia was in this condition was because Egypt and Ethiopia had God made known to them, because God had spoke to them and they rejected him. Because when you reject God, then they went into captivity. And then all of a sudden, then you see the nakedness coming out, their shamefulness being made known. Why? Because they had turned the word down. And so it was a shameful thing that God's prophet walked out there in front of all the people, and they thought, my goodness, here's God's prophet walking around naked. Yeah. Well, he wasn't naked as we think he was, but he was improperly clothed. Yeah. But then he told the people, he said, but it's your shamefulness because you've turned the word down that you're going to walk the same way. But the problem is they walked with no clothes. And here they are, they went back into captivity with Assyrians because they had turned the word down.
Right, right.
And this, if we go on to the next scripture here, John 21 verse 7 speaks of the same thing, because, you know, a lot of people ask about these questions, you know, have questions about this. And there's Peter says, and before that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. Now when you go back and look, see, when they were fishing with other men out in the water and there were no women around, they didn't have their outer garments on. They were fishing. Basically, he was fishing in his underwear. He was fishing in his undergarments, because that's the way they did, because it allowed them to work more. But when he realized that Jesus was on the shore and he wanted to go see him, see, then there would have been women on the shore. Then that's the reason he girded himself, because he didn't want to be seen unclothed. Because that would have been the modest thing for the time. So then he would have grabbed his coat and put it on. So when you say that you are, when they talk about Peter being naked and Isaiah being naked, well, it wasn't that they were naked as we think they were. It's because they were improperly clothed for their position. So when God sets the standard for what is naked, because that's what he carried to the people. That's where they got their idea. What was a standard for being naked. Yeah. And being clothed. So we understand that these things are what God has said in the scripture. So if you go to Isaiah 47, it says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Now, when you go back and look, when they're speaking of Babylon, the Babylon was going into captivity because they had turned the word down. God had spoke to Babylon and Babylon rejected. So as they were going into captivity, now see, I want you to see this one thing. When the Old Testament start talking of this, it's captivity. Because, you know, Brother Branham talks about in lifting them up out of history, and he talks about the way the men, he was talking about Amram and Jezebel praying because of the bondage and everything going on and trying to raise up Moses and looking for a deliverer and what was going to take place. And Brother Branham says, look at today. He said the young men are dressed. He said they got their pants down below their hips carrying a pistol and everything. He said, what is it? He said, it's slavery to the devil. It's bondage to Satan. So when you're looking at this, what you're seeing, this, it's all has to do with being bondage. You cannot be free and dress like this. Because in the Old Testament, a slave dressed immodest. Well, if you're dressing immodest, then what does it show? You're bound by a spirit. So when you come to this, now look, I want you to understand that here they are. They're coming. It says, thou shalt be no more called tender and delicate, because this lady had a position. Because it's just like a church. It's a woman. It's an empire that had a position. But all of a sudden, she decides that she's going to walk away. She's going to become an immoral woman. So God is going, if you read the commentaries, God is going to shame this woman for what she's done. So she's got to cross over the river to go into tribulation. So here it says, take the millstones, grind the meal, uncover thy locks. One of the things that women also wore in the Old Testament, wore in the Old Testament was a veil. And they take, so she's taking her veil off. So you remember we was talking about the Holy Spirit. Brother Ram said it was a holy veil. So she's showing, also it's showing that she's doing away with her covering. She's doing away with this. says, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. So she's got to cross over the river. So what is she doing? She's pulling up her skirts because she's starting to walk into the water. And now she's pulling up. So he says, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Yeah. Then thy nakedness. Remember when we talked about the robe, the undergarment went down, but when you're clothed, when you're robed, the went to the ankles. Yeah. But here we see this woman. So uncover the locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. So here she is as she starts to walk through the water. She's pulling up her garments. Yeah. Now she wasn't naked. She wasn't bare because it's showing that she's pulling up her garments. But God says you're naked because you're uncovering yourself. Yeah, right. So here you are pulling up your garments, then you make yourself naked.
Right. Yep.
When then Brother Branham said, he said, what has happened in our day? He said, the women have become naked again.
Right.
And he said, they don't understand. Well, people say, well, I got clothes on, I'm not naked. Well, are you following the Bible definition of nakedness or are you following your own definition? Are you being robed in God's righteousness by His Word? Are you following your own righteousness, which are filthy rags?
Right,
also, I didn't tell you, the word rags means a filthy garment.
Right.
It's a worn out garment. So you got a filthy worn out garment and that's what you're robed in. You're dressed in your, why? Because it's no good. It's worthless. That's the reason he's saying to put on his garment. His raiment. So when people say, what is nakedness? He said, well, if the women don't realize they're naked, he said, if an apple caused them to realize they were naked, he said, it's time to pass the apples again. So if you, people wonder why there are certain standards. Why? Because God's Word said so. He said, you know, we can wear certain things. Well, you know, every time, you know, as Brother Donnie Reagan said, he said they try to stretch poly from ester trying to cover up their legs, trying to cover up their knees. Well, the problem is why? Because God said, you don't dress this way. Why? Because it shows that you're immoral. God didn't tell people to dress in modest apparel and just, you know, it's just a flip of the coin or just whichever way you think. Why, God set a standard in the Scripture of what immoral is, what nakedness is. So if you go around showing off all your legs, pulling up your skirts getting shorter and shorter and shorter, it shows that you're naked. That's what God said. That's nobody else's standard. That's God's standard.
Right.
Whether you believe that or not, that's what he said. You just have to argue with him. I'm just going to tell you what he said. And continuing on, let's go to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So, and here's another one, speaking of being clothed, watching your garments, keeping your garments. Why? Because if you're not, then you're walking without clothes.
Right.
And you're not meeting the standard of what clothing is. Not being robed. And then continue on. Just got a few scriptures here I want to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 here. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon. Now, listen to the words. Read the words that Paul says and how he describes this.
Right.
He says, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked.
Right.
He said, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now when you go back and read this scripture, Paul's speaking of this earthly house, this tabernacle that we're in. And what's so amazing is the way he describes this being a house or a tent. In some translations, it translates it as a tent. But he says, we have one that if this one is dissolved, he said, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, for in this we groan. We groan in this because nobody wants to live in this. But listen to how he describes this. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven.
Amen.
So while we're here, we're wanting to take on this other one. He said, if so, that we being clothed, we shall not be found improperly clothed. Because you are not in your right to be state. So even if you go beyond here and you put on that one, you're still not in the right to be place. But here, we don't want to be in this place. Well, because if you're a pilgrim and a stranger, if you're a sojourner in this land, and you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, nobody wants to live in this pest house. Nobody wants to live in Satan's Eden. Nobody wants to have to go through this. Why? Because we desire to be fulfilled in the Word of God, to have the fullness of the Word in our lives. And so here we are. He says that we want to be clothed, that we won't be found improperly clothed. Why? Because you don't want to stand on that day of judgment and not be found improperly clothed.
Right.
Why? Because if you've not have his righteousness, then what are you going to say on the day of judgment when you're standing there not clothed in the righteousness of God?
Right.
What is going to be your answer? Yeah. Why? Because you don't have an answer.
Right.
As in the scripture, when Jesus said the man came in the wedding garment, and he came to the wedding and he didn't have the wedding garment on, and he stood there and he said, friend, why have you come to the wedding without the garment? Why? Because it was a free gift. Everyone that came in the proper way was cleaned and greeted and was given a robe. You were robed for the wedding. He said, why did you not come the same with the way that you should have come? And he said, and he was speechless. Why? Because we have to give an account for what we've done and how we dress and how we act and how we conduct ourselves. And you know what? If we go to that day and stand before God and we have to give an account, you know what? We don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse of why we don't dress right and act right and we don't fulfill the Word of God.
Right.
It says, for we in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed. So we don't want to do away with this. And I want you to catch the wording that Paul says. We don't want to take this off. You know, Brother Branham said, he said in Africa, those women were naked, and he said they were laying there. He said when the Holy Ghost came upon them, he said they covered their arms and walked out of the men's presence, and when they came back, they were clothed.
Right.
But he said today, he said the modern people, they take more clothes off.
Yeah, right.
He said they walk around naked. He said they want to be Christians. He said the heathens try to live a Christian life and will actually put on clothes, and he said the Christians are trying to be heathens.
Right.
He said, it shows that we got a bunch of idiots.
Right, right, right.
But see, he said, we're not going to take this off. He said, we want to be clothed upon. So right. We're not going to do away. We don't want to do away with this. We want to have more clothes put on.
Glory.
Then how, if this is what he's speaking of, then how in the world does anybody think that we're going to take more clothes off?
No.
There's no place in the scripture that talks about taking clothes off. So the thing is, just speaking in natural terms, and if I'm wrong on anything, then Brother Dale can straighten me out. But the thing is this, if you walk around and you have a question about whether something fits or not, or you think it's a little bit immodest or a little bit immoral, then guess what? If it ain't a little bit longer, if it ain't a little bit looser, if it ain't got a little more cloth to it, you probably need to choose the one that's a little bigger,
yeah.
A little bit longer. Nowhere in the Bible you're going to find it. So what, we're going to take this off? No, Paul says we don't want to be unclothed.
Right.
We're not going to take anything off. We want more clothes added on.
Right.
It says that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Right.
Why? Because we want something added. We want it to keep putting on the Word of God that this mortal will take on immortality.
Amen.
So it's going to be adding on.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. It says, now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing as God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit.
Right.
So if we received the earnest of the Spirit, then you know what? This applies to us.
Glory.
With just the earnest of the Spirit. You know, if you're born again and you're just a newborn babe in Christ, then you know what? You have this.
Right. Amen.
Then you know what? We don't want to have to be unclothed, but you know, we desire to be clothed more upon. Well, no wonder Brother Branham said, you can't get a born again woman to put on immoral clothes. You can't see a woman running around in a pair of shorts, a pair of pants, some shirt or skirt that runs way up above her knees, some kind of split and scandal skirts and all kinds of stuff. Why? Because there's no place in the Scripture. Why? Because if the Holy Ghost is there, then the Holy Ghost is going to match the Word.
Amen.
Why? Because what goes on down here in the natural is a type of the spiritual.
Right.
So we want to put on, Christ.
Amen.
We're not taking anything off. We want one, because when you put it on, then guess what? He's the one that's obligated to put it off.
Amen.
Everybody's like, well, I want to try to get rid of this and try to get rid of that. Amen. You know, the problem is everybody tries to get rid of everything themselves. You know what? If you get in the Word and let God get in you, then you know what? He takes care of the business of cleaning you up. It's a problem, you know, because, you know, our righteousness is filthy rags. So you know what? You're not going to ever get good enough. You're not ever going to get yourself right.
Right.
It ain't ever going to work right.
Right.
But you got to put on Christ. You got to put on the robe of righteousness. His righteousness. His law. His Word.
Glory.
If we put on Christ, then you know what? Then He can do the work.
Right.
1 Timothy 2:9. It says, in like manner, that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel.
Yeah.
So when you look at the word modest, so everybody's like, well, you know, I've got my own definition of what modest is. Well, you know what it means? One of the definitions is unassuming. So you're not going to draw attention to yourself. Well, let me tell you, if you put on something that shows every inch and every curve and every little thing on you, then you know what? It's not unassuming.
Right. Man.
The other definition for this word is adequate.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said, women walk around and ain't got enough clothes to wad a musket shotgun.
Yeah.
That's not adequate.
Right.
It also means satisfactory.
Yeah.
Well, if you can't wad a shotgun or fill up an aspirin bottle, then or aspirin box, then you know what? It ain't adequate and it ain't satisfactory.
Right. Right.
And the other thing it says, it also means well arranged.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it has down here and out this way and that way and it splits here and there, you know what? It ain't adequate.
Right.
It ain't unassuming.
Right.
It ain't satisfactory.
Yep. Glory.
And it ain't well arranged.
Yeah.
Well, I may not get a lot of amens tonight, but listen. It's still the truth, whether you like it or not.
Right.
And you know what? It don't matter if it hurts me, hurts you, hurts whoever.
Right.
You know, it's still the truth. And you know what? Because somebody is, we're obligated to the Word to know this.
Right.
And everybody says, well, why are we supposed to dress a certain way? Why are we supposed to act a certain way? Why? Because God put it in His Word.
Right.
And you know what? It takes the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost will come and he'll speak to you out of the Word on how to dress.
Exactly right.
People think, well, we just, the Holy Ghost will come. No, God wrote it in his Word.
Right.
Amen. Not a lot of people don't believe that, but that's all right. You know, I just choose to believe what the Bible says, and that's what I see, and that's what I believe. And if nobody else agrees with or believes, that's okay. They're the ones that has to answer to God on that. But all I have to do is say what I believe and what God tells me to say. We need to dress the way God wants us to. Why? Because it's a type of being dressed in the Word of God, putting on holiness. May get done here in a little bit. So I just got a few more. Here's from the Message. Presuming, Brother Branham says, he says, I heard someone say as I was saying at the beginning of a message back here a few days ago, I was in a place, some of them, now you have to wear Elijah's garment. My, there's no more different garments and touch and handle and sensations I ever heard in my life. Now, just let it go blank. Go blank. Hold your head back. Good, honest people. Go blank. Don't think of nothing. Just let your mind go completely blank. Now, see, I believe God. Oh, I believe you're going to give me the Elijah's garment. He said, I don't want Elijah's garment. I want the Holy Ghost. I want to come upon the basis of this word. I want to come on with the knowledge. See, I come upon God believing that. I can't be covered with Elijah's garment. I don't want to be covered with the garment. I want to be covered with the garment of the righteousness of God. Clothed in his righteousness. Sure, that's the garment that we want. Then continuing on, let's go to Jehovah Jireh, 1964. And Brother Branham says, see, after the battle is over, the real believer has fought the enemy, broke down the lines and tried to capture his brother, the real seed of Abraham, bringing back that wayward brother, Melchizedek, came out and served him bread and wine communion, giving communion after the battle was over, served the communion to him after the battle. A very beautiful type when the battle is over here on earth. The victories have been won. Jesus said that they would eat it anew in the Father's kingdom after the wayward had been brought back. Then the first thing we do when we get in after the battle is over is sit down at the battle in the kingdom of God. And those that has fought and sat down and overcome shall be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And then again, they take the bread and wine in the Father's kingdom on the other side. What a real picture of this, of Abraham going out and getting Lot and bringing him back in. So I'm just going to continue. I just got a couple more quotes. I'm going to finish up. Now this is from Stan Steele, 1957. Brother Branham says, this is the one I was talking about earlier where he says, those naked women, 5 minutes before, they didn't know they were naked. And as soon as the Holy Spirit struck that bunch, them women folded their arms and walked off the ground. Now, you mean to tell me in your modern churches, you let the women strip themselves off out here half naked before men and tell me that is Christianity? It's worse than heathens. A heathen can realize and accept Christ. They'll cover up their nakedness, and you're trying to expose yourself to be modern. I don't want to be rude, but brother, one of these days I've got to stand before the presence of God and give an account for everything I say, and I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to say it. Instead of becoming civilized, we're becoming idiots. That's right. Civilization is broke. So we are responsible to say what God said. And say exactly what he said. Then continuing on here, perfect strength and perfect weakness. He said, Paul said, I can move mountains with faith. I can heal the sick. I can have knowledge of the Bible. I can go to a seminary and learn all this stuff. Everything said, I'm nothing yet. Hallelujah. Oh my, talk about the lid coming off the kettle. Demons going around, powers of the devil under the name of Christianity, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, theological seminary doctrines, leaving the Bible alone. Hallelujah. Who's strong enough? Who's wise enough? Who's powerful enough to tame this legion of stripping the clothes off of our women in the name of preachers, Methodists, Baptists, and even Pentecostal, painting their faces like Jezebel and bobbing their hair and wearing paints just like men? Our preachers, not enough to get up about them to tell them about it. Devil possessed. It was the legion that tore his clothes off of him. Who is this roaring devil? Who's strong enough? What kind of denomination able to conquer him, walking up and down through these tombstones of denominations crying the days of miracles is past and we don't need the Holy Ghost? And who can tame the devil? God. We can't do it by denomination. We can't do it by ecclesiastical forces. But there was a voice one time that did it, amen, that tamed them devils, that put them in their mind and put clothes on them. That same voice gives us a promise. The works that I do shall you do also. You'll never do it under ecclesiastical gasoline in a carbon-struck car. You'll never do it in an organization. You'll never do it when you... You'll do it when you empty up and become weak. Pour out all yourself and let the Holy Ghost come in and flood over every part of you, saturate every lid of your body. That's the only way you'll do it. We don't need any organization. The works that I do shall you do also. Why? Because the Holy Ghost has been given to us. Because If we have a need, the Holy Ghost has been given to us, and if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have it, then that's what Brother Dale's been preaching on. Why? Because there is a way made. It's as simple as it can be. But the problem is you've got to come and get before God and pour yourself out, as he said, and wait on God and allow him to come and move on you. Because if you will come before him, because if he's speaking to your heart, then you need to yield to him. Right. But the problem is people don't know how to yield. People don't know how to stand still and wait on the Holy Spirit to come to them. They want to try to figure it out on their own or some kind of program or whatever else. But the thing is, it takes a dying out. And the problem is, as long as you're crying out to God, then you yield yourself, then God's morally obligated to come to your position, your place, and speak to your heart and tell you how to move forward.
Right.
But the problem is, like you said, people don't stay here long enough, stand still long enough. Why? Because, you know, there isn't no old-fashioned altars, and you don't have to have an altar up here, but you have an altar in your heart. The altar is here, but the place is you need to go find a place somewhere where they're like Brother Branham said, meet it, I'm going to the cave, and I'm going to get an answer from God, and I'm not coming out. And he said, if I don't come back, tell the boss to hire somebody else.
Right.
You know, the problem is we never cut down to business with God just like that.
Right.
Just like that man was out there in that field that time, and he said, Lord, if you don't give me the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to find a bear of bones right here.
Right.
Why? Because people don't come to that.
Right.
And you know what? It's just like, it doesn't require that all the time, but you know what? You've got to mean business with God.
Glory.
You've got to meet him and sell out everything.
Right.
But people don't know how to do that. People don't know how to sell out.
Right.
People say, well, you know, they just want to come up here and have Brother Dale lay hands on them, and you know, that's going to fix their problems.
Yeah.
It takes more than that.
Right.
You know, the whole theology of the whole wide world is to come up here and we're just going to believe. That's what the whole theology of the whole wide world is, just to believe. You know, God done it all, and he does it all, and all we got to do is just believe in him, and he can do everything else.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is you know what? You got to put a little time and a little effort in yourself.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine? How many of you ever went to school and said, you know what? I never cracked a book. I never read. Well, you know what? How many of y'all would like to stick your hand in that panel over there? How many's ever worked on electricity? How many want to put their hand in that panel right there? How many people want to work on it? Well, you know what? The thing is, if you've never had an experience, why? Because it takes a little time.
Right.
You know, because you know what? Everybody thinks, well, you know, you just jump in and everything. But you know what? There's a time that you got to open a book.
Amen.
And you know what? When I went to school, you know, we had books. And you know what? They come out there and they give us things and we had to read. Well, you know what? If you don't read, if you don't study, then how in the world is God's ever going to speak to you?
Right.
God doesn't say he's going to speak to you in the wind.
Yeah.
Why? Because he ordained a way to speak to you. This was the Holy Spirit. It says the scripture, I think Peter said that the Holy Spirit came upon men and they were moved to write as the Holy Ghost spoke to them. They were moved by the Holy Ghost to write. And you know what? He's kept this all the way down through here, all those years and everything. And you know what? This right here is vindicated. And everybody, and people don't pick this up and read it. And when we got people, well, you know, we're just gonna listen to what the prophet had to say. We're gonna listen to what the prophet had to say. Well, you know what? Brother Branham said the only way that you're gonna get closer to God, he didn't say sit and listening to me. He said, how do we get closer to God? He said it more than once. He said, read your Bible and pray. He didn't say just listen to me. Why? Because he said faith's final resting place is in the Word. He said, then you've got to come back to the Word. You've got to read this.
Amen. Right.
Why? Because what he said on those tapes lays right here.
Amen. Right.
But it takes more than just listening to Brother Branham.
Amen.
And I don't knock listening to Brother Branham one bit. I think we ought to listen to him more.
Right.
But the thing is you've got to get in this Word right here. Why? Because everything that Brother Branham said come out of here.
Amen. Exactly.
People are trying to find where everything that Brother Branham said, well, this is wrong, we can't figure this out, whatever. Well, the thing is you've got to go back to the Word.
Amen. Oh, yeah. That's right.
And the problem is everybody's trying to figure it out on their own.
Right.
Like they got the mentality to do that.
Yeah.
Like they got the mentality to do that. You know, there's an old saying that says, it's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. And the other saying is there's only one successful substitute for brains, and that's silence.
Amen. That's right.
And that's where we need to be. But if we can listen to God and allow Him to speak, then He can speak to us. Then how do we get robed in His righteousness? By the plan that He give us.
Right.
He give us the Word and we get in the Word.
Amen.
And if you're in the Word, then the Word gets in you. Because you know, it takes an experience with God. But you know what the thing is if you don't get, because if you're not in the Word and digging in the Word and laying before God in the Word, then you know, how's He ever going to speak to you?
Amen.
Because it's just like speaking a foreign language.
Yep. Right.
Because God, you know, because we're carnal and there's enmity between us. But you know what? There comes a time when you start to learn the heavenly language. Why? Because you become one with Him. That He can speak to you. That He becomes able to speak to you through your journey. But you know, sometimes it takes a little while for people to get to the place where they can stop and listen. Listen to what God wants to say to them. To listen to what God is speaking. But then, you know, it takes a little bit of time, but you know what? God will come on the scene and speak to you. This is from the Message, Secondhand Robe. He says, speaking of Elisha putting on the robe of Elijah. He said, now Elisha robe wrapped in the robe of Elijah, the prophet. What a conqueror's march. How he walked treading ahead as a conqueror. He had heard the promise. He felt the power. He was walking like a warrior right down to Jordan. Praise be to God, friends. Every believer this morning that's robed in the righteousness of God is walking towards the Jordan road. That's right. Let atomic bombs come. Let it. You're robed and walking as a conqueror. Amen. Fear not. I have overcome the world. Yes, sir. Remember what? I have overcome the world. Christ said that Elisha was walking with a second-handed robe on, but feeling like a conqueror correctly, coming through the Jordan. Brother, let me say this in respect to you. Don't you put on somebody else's robe that's all moth-eaten with doubts, where all these defeats and superstitions and some ups and downs has put holes in it and all leaking through, and it leaking all through. You put on the robe of the conqueror, Christ. Don't trust in your church who once taught salvation by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, who once taught divine healing, and now deny it all, eat up with the moss of doubt and everything else. Put on the robe of him that never lost a battle for your own, your road to Jordan.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand, have the musicians come. I want to be robed in his righteousness. Amen. Can we sing a little song this afternoon, Brother John? It's the only song that comes to mind when I think about a robe or a garment. And I think it's a perfect time. And I don't know what key, so we're going to try it. It's called Put On the Garment of Praise for the Spirit of Heaviness. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Sing with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Sing in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Sing in the spirit and with understanding. Because you know what? When you're down and depressed, then there is a robe to put on. He said, put on the garment of praise. Because, you know, Brother Bram said, you know, you sit around sometimes, and he said, next thing you know, you start thinking about a song, singing a little bit, start tapping your foot. He said, next thing you know, it'll change your whole atmosphere. He said, sing in the spirit. Well, you know what? If you're not in the spirit, you just start singing until the spirit moves. A lot of times people don't want to do nothing, but you know, they're standing there. Well, you know, the things that people come to church and they won't clap their hands. People are afraid, or they don't want to get into the service. Well, you know what? The first thing you need to do is clap your hands. If you don't feel like it, then you need to raise your hands. You know what? Then all of a sudden, you know, then you'll get in the spirit. All of a sudden, then, you know, because all of a sudden your whole atmosphere will change. Because, you know, if you come out here and you worship, you come to a service, and I guarantee you, if you get into worship service, instead of sitting there like a bump on a pickle, but if you get into the worship service, when the preacher comes forth, then you know what? It makes it easier on him to preach, but it also makes it easier on you to receive. Because you know what? We come in and we've had to work all day today. We've had to deal with a whole bunch of things that we didn't want to deal with today. We had to talk to about a bunch of people that we didn't want to have to talk to or have to deal with. A lot of spirits all around. But you know what? You come in here and put on that garment of praise, and all of a sudden, you know what? Your atmosphere will change. Why? Because no wonder if you were like that, no wonder Brother Branham said that if the Spirit of God is in you, he said no wonder you couldn't wait for them doors to open up.
Amen.
I feel good. I don't know about y'all. But... well, God bless you. Now we're going to turn back to Brother Dale.
Amen.
Message now coming.
My heavenly home is bright and bright. I feel like traveling home.
for the other. The Lord would bless and go, all right, you're dismissed. And Mother, just take care of
it. It's bright and clear.